Good morning. I'm going to go ahead and call the Senate Committee on Judiciary to order. Today we're meeting on the 12th of January. This is our organizational meeting with the purpose for us to be adopting rules and doing introductions. What I'd like to do at this point is thank everyone that's here today and come for the framework as to what we will be doing for the session. Today, as I said, is our organizational meeting. We'll be adjourning after today's meeting. We'll be starting back up on February 1st. We will be in our standard traditional room, 343. We did not lose our hearing room, at least. Our staff has been relocated, and I'll let them go over that in a minute. But I think what I'd like to do to start off is go through the introductions before we do the adoption of the rules. So everyone can stay here and make sure the introduction to them, then we'll do the rules. And with that, I'm Floyd Przonski, State Senator representing District 4. District 4 includes parts of Lane and Douglas counties. This is my served 14 out of the last 16 years in the legislature, evenly split between the House and the Senate, 7-7. And starting the 15th year with this, my day job is serving as a prosecutor for cities in this, in Lane County with contracts in Florence and in Eugene. And with that, I'll start with my vice. No, we'll leave the vice chair for last. He's the most new member of our committee. So I will go to my right, audience's left, Senator Dingfelder.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and it's a pleasure to be here this morning and an honor to be back on this committee. It's actually the third session that I've served on judiciary. My first term in the House, I was fortunate enough to serve on judiciary, and then when I moved over to the Senate, I got assigned to this committee. So I'm pleased to be here again. My background is I'm in my 10th year in the Oregon legislature, which is hard to believe, especially because I just recalled this morning that my hazing occurred by our vice chair when I was on the House floor. And so we do have to do a hazing here since he's the new vice chair. Anyway, it's been a very exciting and wild ride. I'm pleased to be back. My background is on environmental issues. I have a master's in environmental planning and have worked in that field for 25 years. So my I'm not an attorney. My expertise on law is, I would say, much greater on environmental law issues. I've worked on in that realm for many, many years, but certainly am pleased to be on judiciary and looking forward to working with many of the very interesting issues and stakeholders that we have here, and really am pleased to be back.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Suzanne Bonamici, I represent Senate District 17, which is in Washington County and Northwest Portland, about two-thirds in Washington County and the other third in Multnomah County. This is my third session. I served one session in the House in 2007, where I served on the House Judiciary Committee. Glad to be returning to this committee, where I served also last session in 2009. My background, I do have a law degree, although it's a bit dusty. I haven't practiced for many years. And my practice after law school, I worked at the Federal Trade Commission in Washington, D.C., in the Bureau of Consumer Protection Credit Practices Division. And then I was in a law firm in Portland for a few years until I took my career break to raise my children. And my practice was all civil. I did learn some criminal law when I was in law school and studying for the Oregon Bar, but beyond that, all my practice was in civil law. I'm excited to be back on the committee, and thank you, Mr. Chair, for the opportunity to introduce myself.
You bet. Thank you.
And Mr. Chair, I apologize for the listeners. I forgot to mention my district is Northeast Southeast Portland District 23.
Great. Thank you. Senator Wissett.
Thank you, Chair Przonski. The wishes of many have come true. I lost my voice. I represent most of five counties in southern Oregon, Klamath, Lake Crook, Jackson, and part of Deschutes. I'm a retired veterinarian. I'm in the middle of my second term in the Senate, and I'm also pleased to be back on the committee.
Great, thank you. And for our newest member, but someone that's been around the building for a few years. A
couple times, yeah.
Not his first rodeo.
No.
Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Jeff Cruz, Senate District 1, which is all of Curry County, two-thirds of Coos, a little bit of Jackson, a little bit of Josephine, and about, I would say, 3/4 of Douglas. The chair is right above me.
Right.
But
don't forget those people on the coast.
Right, right. I know, I'm population-wise.
Okay.
This is not... I've been in the legislature since 97, and I came into the legislature basically to work on natural resource issues, which is why the majority of my career has been in education and healthcare. So it's interesting the journey that this process takes us on. I had not remembered that I had hazed you, but it's an honor to be able to do something like that, something that happens in the House, not so much in the Senate. So this is not my first go-around on judiciary. I was on this committee in 97. Mr. Chair, you and I are the only members of that committee from then that are still on this committee, so a significant turnover. And actually, I had asked to be on this committee back then. I remember when I had my interview with the president, because I was doing healthcare and education. Everybody knew that. And we were at the end of our meeting with the president on committee assignments. And as I was walking out the door, I said, Peter, you know, at some point in time in my in my legislative career, I would like to serve on judiciary. Well, then we walked back into his office because he had to give me about 20 minutes of his opinion of the Judiciary Committee, which is very high. And the president thinks all bills should go through this committee. We know that. So
most of them
so,
do.
No. And so at the end of that meeting, I said, you know, I have a feeling I'm going to end up on that committee. And it was a wonderful experience, and I'm looking forward to it again. And looking forward to working with you, Mr. Chair. You and I have done some very good things together in this process over the course of years, and I'm sure we can continue that.
And we will. Let's see. Regarding staff, I'm going to start with Ms. Rawls. Cheyenne?
Chair Pozanski, members, it's a pleasure to be staffing the Senate Judiciary Committee. I've been in the building since 2009, but not on the Senate side, so I'm looking forward to it. My colleague, Bill Taylor, has some introductory remarks as well, and I defer to him.
Well, a little bit about yourself before you defer.
I've been an attorney for about 10 years, was a DA, a district attorney in Colorado, until about 2008, when I moved back home to my home state of Oregon, and I've been with the legislature, as I said, for 2 years.
All right, and for the senior member of this organization, we'll turn to Counsel Bill Taylor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Did you say senior or senile? Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. This is the start of my 13th session. And when I started, I had a full head of hair and what else, other things. Before that, I was Counsel U.S. Capitol Police in Washington, D.C., worked with the Federal Election Commission, had several stints both in Portland and Boston in private practice. And I was fortunate enough to come back to an area that I really enjoy, and that's the legislative process. It's interesting to be and nice to be on probably the two busiest committees in the legislature, the House and Senate Judiciary Committees. And as you know, staff, alike Ways and Means, follows bills back and forth. In addition to that, we have a young man by the name of Aaron Nock who's coming down from Multnomah DA's office. He's taking a leave of absence, as we have had for the last five or six sessions. Lori Brocker, who you probably know from the Business Committee, will be assisting us, particularly at the beginning of session, until she gets busy with her other committee assignments. And then we have a legal intern, Drew Johnson, who's in his second year at the University of Oregon Law School, and some of you may remember his father. You probably served with him on Judiciary Committee. He called me back in August and wanted to know if he could be our intern, and said, sure, when do you want to start? So that's pretty much it. I guess the one thing that's going to be different than in past sessions is we start full force in February, so we basically have shorter time to do the same amount of bills.
All right, and then our traffic controller.
Oh, excuse me. How could I forget our
chief? Boy, you're going to get it when you get upstairs.
I know that. Our top sergeant, Enola DeJong. As I mentioned, the House Judiciary a while ago, if you really want to know where things are, call Enola, okay? Because when you call me, that's who I call, especially where bills are and things like that. We are fortunate to have a very good office manager. who keeps track of the paper for us so we can spend more time working on legal and policy issues. So.
I want to thank everyone for, one, volunteering and being part of our committee. As we all know, this committee is tasked to do a lot of work, and we'll have our work cut out for us when we start in February. But I expect that we'll have a very successful session in doing the work of the people of the state of Oregon. So with that, I will take a motion from my vice chair regarding the adoption of the rules.
Mr. Chair, I move adoption of the proposed committee rules dated January 12, 2011.
Senator Cruz moves for the adoption of the proposed rules dated January 12, 2011. Is there any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. And, Council, is there anything else that we need to cover?
Sure, there is a roll call vote required for adoption of committee rules.
Oh, okay, we'll do that.
Oh, we didn't do it on ours.
See, put the pressure on us already.
We'll be, yeah, mm-hmm. At least we're going to be formal and get it right. I can only tell you the committee I was in before, we did not do that, so we'll probably have to go back and readopt the rules.
Perhaps with a majority it's required and there's no objection, perhaps it's implied.
Okay.
Let's just make sure.
Just to be official, and no one can say that the judiciary did not do their work. Sue, if you'd be so kind.
Senator Bonamici?
Aye.
Senator Dinkelder?
Aye.
Senator Whitson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Cruz?
Aye.
Chair Krasowski?
Aye. With that, the motion passes. We've adopted the rules. And, Council, again, is there anything else that we need to cover? All right, so the last thing we'll do is, I know between now and February 1st, we will be looking at the bills that are assigned to us. I believe the President's office is going to be releasing bill assignments forthright. Once we get those bills assigned to us, we'll start figuring out what we can do as quickly and getting them onto the schedule. And we'll get notice out. Of course, we'll be in compliance with the 48-hour rule, but I hope to have a better plan and, let's say, guide for where we're heading in the first week prior to that. And so be watching for that notification. I guess the last thing that we should say is that for those who are following us on the Internet and such, we're moving into the wireless, or actually paperless, journey of the legislature, where we will not be having a lot of creation of paper. And so most of the stuff will be coming across through the Internet or through the electronic communication. And so please be sure to follow through those paths. And if you would want to have hard copies, your office will need to provide them for you. Anything else?
I didn't say that, in fact, at our Coastal Caucus meeting this morning at the end, we were talking, some of us dinosaurs want paper. And okay. So we're not totally paperless. And fortunately, we're still going to be able to have hard copies. I can't work on a screen like I can work. I mean, it's, you know, mm-hmm. It's a generational thing. So
no, I understand. And I mean, all of us are still, for those who are wanting maybe to have correspondence with us, don't think you have to only do it by electronically. You can definitely do it in handwritten notes or letters. All of our offices, I will assume, will maintain bill folders and files mm-hmm. for all of mm-hmm. the members to be able to follow. So, but the one thing I will say is that they are going to be I think scanning most of that correspondence into electronic form,
yes,
so
yes.
It will be digital for the future. With that,
Mr. Chair, will amendments and so forth be available in hard copy?
My understanding is, I'm looking.
Yeah.
Okay, I am not sure about that. I thought I'd heard that everything was coming electronically and that they would be printed out, but clearly, if they're coming in. Without enough time for each office to get them and process them, then they would be hard copy. But I'm just say we'll need to figure this out. It sounds like from what Sue said, her understanding is that we are supposed to have hard copies on that. But
probably at least for committee members, I would think. I know that the going to wireless, it was a budgetary issue. But I also pointed out that. That the majority of the printing of the bills are not for members of the Legislative Assembly, it's for everybody else in the world. And so the thought was that we can still afford to have copies for us, but other entities may end up having to purchase copies if they want hard copies. So,
right, I think that's true.
Yeah.
So what we'll do is I'll ask staff if we can just get a confirmation as to what is, and we'll go with what Sue says. It sounds like we will have hard copies. If we don't, then we'll make certain members will know that, and so we can prepare. But I agree, it's, that's one of the questions I had in discussions with the president's office as to how we can streamline our efficiency, but at the same time make certain that we are not belaboring or logging ourselves down without being able to actually conduct business, such as operating on what an amendment would do or not do without it being in front of us in some version.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, amendments may be a little bit more problematic to immediately put online, because if we request an amendment from Legislative Council's office, say for the committee, we obviously want some time to make sure that what we ask for and what they sent us back meet, and that may be true of your own amendments. You may want an opportunity to think it through and to make sure it's covering everything. So they're not, I don't think they're automatically public documents. So
yeah, I know that the amendments, at least on one of the bills I'm working on, that already had amendments come out from LC, and that was definitely hard copy. So what we'll do is we're going to go on the premise that they will be hard copy. If they're not, I will be one expressing what I've heard to the president's office to make certain that we're able to be efficient. And one of the ways is make certain we have the the documents in front of us to actually consider them without worrying about something not being available for that discussion.
Well, Ms. Taylor said, you know, I can remember maybe once or twice when I've requested an amendment from Ledge Council and it hasn't come back quite the way it was supposed to, and to have inaccurate documents going out over the internet that would get people spun up when it wasn't the intent probably doesn't help things. So our ability to really look at them and say, yeah, that's what we wanted before it goes public, I think is really appropriate.
Well, Chair, in defense of Legislative Counsel's office, oftentimes no situations is because I wasn't clear enough on what I asked for. So, and that's what sometimes, you know, it takes time to work out.
Yeah, the communication of understanding what was meant versus what was perceived. And I think the other part on that is that I got to realize that sometimes, because we're on the fly, amendments may actually come through the door while we're actually in the process of considering them. So we'll make certain that's addressed. Anything else for the good of the order? Thank you all very much. I look forward to seeing everyone on February 1st. I believe our time slot is the 8 o'clock slot. What I will tell you is that more than likely, if things work as they did previously this last session, we will probably not start at 8 o'clock on the first part of the session, since our workload probably will not justify us being there for 2 hours. But we'll work through this to the point of where we can be as streamlined as we can and making certain everyone knows start time. But at this point, we're on for 8 o'clock, and we'll let you know if we're going to come in a little bit later where you can plan accordingly. Anything else?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.